So not only were you able to get more people through the same square footage, you were able to triple the productivity of the staff while also improving the patient satisfaction outcomes. That fully demonstrates the impact of a well-designed environment that supports the operational excellence of what, you know, Mary Freebed's organizational culture is all about.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Joyelle Pavian. I'm the Vice President of the Mary Freebed Advisory Group and your host for today's episode. Today, we have two very special guests, Kent Riddle, our CEO of Mary Freebed, and Dr. Larissa McAllister, founder and CEO of Envia. Kent, for those of you who aren't familiar with Mary Freebed, would you tell us a little bit about Mary Freebed and yourself?
You bet. Mary Freebed's 131 years old. We're one of the oldest rehabilitation hospitals in the country. Started with children and doing orthotics and prosthetics for children back in 1920. And it's all grown since then. We are providing comprehensive rehabilitation services, about 120 programs total. So just about anything that is rehabilitative in nature, we do it.
Kent, Mary Freebed has had a lot of growth over the last several years. We've brought Larissa McAllister in to help us support those growth initiatives. So from your perspective, when did you know it was time to engage with Envia?
So 10 years ago, we had an inflection point in our organization's history, and we decided to really double down and not only grow the organization, but we decided that our future strategy would do everything we could do to become the best in the world at rehab. And for us, that meant that in addition to so many other things, we had to work on the facility. We had an aged facility, and it wasn't going to be big enough. It clearly needed some elbow grease and more, and it was really supporting processes that were old. Looking around, I was talking to another hospital leader in the area and chatting about doing projects, and she mentioned Larissa's name. I hadn't heard of Larissa before that, and she said, oh my gosh, Larissa's been fantastic leading our, I think it was a surgery center emergency room project. And I said, why? And she described what I had sort of come to understand with my background as an engineer in the world of delivering space. Described that she really understood how to pull people, technology, space, and culture together. And what resonated with me was the word culture. So Mary Freebed's had a very special culture over the years. We're trying to continue to enhance it, but it goes back literally 100 years. It's a very uplifting culture, very compassionate, very caring. And so the facility had to sort of reflect that and be a tool to help people in their rehabilitation. So I got on the phone with Larissa the first time, and she basically voiced that to me. And I thought, wow, this is the person that we want to work with.
So tell us about some of the projects that she's spearheaded with Mary Freebed. I'm aware that she participated in some of our outpatient growth initiatives, and certainly our fifth floor now, which is our office space. Tell us a little bit more about those projects and the value that you've seen.
Well, so going back to the time that I first talked to her, which was probably about 10 years ago, we had about 250,000 square feet on our campus in four or five different buildings. We knew we needed to grow. And so I really engaged her as the leader of the programming effort behind our master plan. We built out that master plan, the initial one, and now we're beyond that, building out a second master plan just because we've had more growth than we ever envisioned. The first one, though, involved a tower, which ended up being a six-story tower adjacent to our old hospital. It was the renovation of our old hospital, not to renovate it the way it was, but to totally gut it and remodel it under new processes and so forth, new programs. And so Larissa was involved in the lead capacity of basically directing our architect and interior designer on that project.
My understanding working with Larissa and seeing what she's done here, even on the fifth floor, is she's not only building out new spaces, but she's taking existing spaces and making them more functional for organizations. So can you speak to this fifth floor project for the professional office buildings and how she took that existing space and essentially helped us build a more collaborative environment?
Yeah, so we had a defined amount of space here on the fifth floor where I'm sitting today, and we had a number of people that really needed to be working together collaboratively, and you couldn't fit the number of people into that space unless you came up with some creative alternatives. And one of the creative alternatives that Larissa really pushed was the idea of hoteling. So we did some analysis. She did it, did time studies to see how often we were all in our private offices or in our wherever we work, and determined that for the most part, it was about 50%. Well, that would mean, if you do the math, that you can get twice as many people in 50% of the space if you construct it correctly. And at the same time, if you construct it correctly, you can actually foster collaboration. So it was the removal not only of assigned offices, but it was the removal of opaque walls. We have glass everywhere. So everybody sees everybody, and it builds camaraderie. It builds excitement. There's energy in the air on our fifth floor as a result of it. We collaborate a lot because we're bouncing it into each other, because you never know on any given day which office you're going to have. So when I come in the morning, for instance, I will just grab whatever's available. One of the things I've already noticed about it is I get to come into a fresh, clean office and not have it full of stacks of paperwork. And I love that. And I don't have to then, when I get up in the morning, I don't have to think, oh boy, I'm going to walk into a big mess. Never happens. And the other thing I've noticed is that I have a lot more hallway conversations with people. And so we're able to avoid meetings. We're able to avoid space that we wouldn't otherwise, that would otherwise sit empty. And we're getting better communication as an organization between ourselves. And, you know, that's where I think as an organization, that's where problems occur. Through a lack of communication. And I would say generally we all trust each other more because we see each other more.
Those are all great points, Ken. I think now we want to turn over the conversation to Larissa, hear more from her, and get her insights into some of the projects here at Mary Free Bed.
Dr. McAllister and her team have had significant impact on Mary Free Bed. And for those of you who don't know what Envia does, they're an organization that is taking the lead in developing ways to align the built environments with operations. They remove barriers that are working against staff success and patient satisfaction. And rather than designing space around the existing processes and culture, Envia designs processes, cultures, and spaces oriented around organizational goals. Dr. McAllister, thank you for joining me today. There are a slew of credentials behind your name that speak to your area of expertise and your research journey that supported the changes you've made within our organization. Would you please tell our audience a little bit more about you and your education?
Sure. Thank you, Joyelle. It's such a pleasure to be here today. My background actually is in medical social work. And within the medical social work field, while I was working in the hospitals, I recognized that the environment was impacting my patients and family members that I was talking to. So I would have in-person conversations in a hallway and get a much different experience than those in a enclosed room that would allow for them to grieve accordingly or just hear and be present in the conversation. With those experiences under my belt, I really was thinking about the role the environment was playing and influencing the folks that I was trying to help and support. And that's began my journey into architecture and design. And so I've been a practicing architect, and I actually have a PhD in research in architecture from the University of Georgia Tech that allows me to really look at the environment in a new way to align cultures and organizations around the environment. The work that I have been doing with Envia is really helping to support a system of understanding of how to methodologically look at operations and businesses to better align the built environment to support those organizations. When we're working with organizations, we find that the environment is a true barrier to their ability to be successful, but they don't necessarily know how to solve those problems. And with the work that we have been doing with Kent, it has really really brought a new light and understanding of how inpatient and outpatient rehab care can be really enhanced to be a national leader. And we're seeing that now come to fruition with a lot of the work that we have been doing. And so the whole goal around Envia is to better use the evidence in the field to make design decisions to better support a business strategy. And a lot of times we're translators to hospital leadership to better understand what they have. Some of the research that I'm have been active in is in regards to looking at the role of a, for example, in an inpatient room, the orientation of a hand wash sink. So if you think of a hand wash sink, you make a decision, you have to put a hand wash sink in an inpatient room for hygiene purposes, but how is it oriented so you could actually wash your hands and have a conversation with the patient in their room? Those rooms actually perform higher for patient satisfaction outcomes. So those are simple design solutions that you could build into the environment that also impact operations as well as the patient experience.
That's very interesting. So for organizations that are really on a growth journey, such as Mary Free Bed, it's really important to align that environment with the future vision. If you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit more about some of the most transformational projects that you've worked with Mary Free Bed on and helped us preserve our culture at the same time.
One of the first transformational projects we worked on was thinking about the role of the patient that was coming through the front door for the first time, maybe in a wheelchair, in a walker, that may not have the capabilities to actually easily move through that front entry. And how do you make that experience feel supported? And how do you feel that you're welcomed within that environment? And so one of the biggest components of what we designed is as you walk in the main lobby here in the hospital, you'll see that it's open. There's no significant welcome desk because we wanted the people to be meandering through the space. So you have welcome greeters that are actually walking around, but that when you did have a sit down space to work, that you didn't have a big long table sitting in front of you. Because if you think about a person in a wheelchair, they're not being supported. If you wanted to help them in, you would be the barrier of the actual table might be in the way. The idea about the lobby space was really more open and welcoming, but then the work area was something that was allowed to have the check-in desks that were movable and reusable in a way that wouldn't be so fixed. So if you wanted as a registration tech to be able to walk through the space and help them support them on the way around.
You know, Larissa, I never noticed that until you said something just now. But as we walk through the Mary Free Bed lobby, you're absolutely right. People are coming up to you, asking you if you need anything and where you're headed. And that is a lot more engaging to visitors. It really adds that personal touch and it increases accessibility too for those patients.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So you've really used a lot of color in our lobby. And is color very engaging for patients or visitors to the hospital? Why is it so colorful? Most lobbies I walk into might be gray or blue, very, very relaxing. And then you walk into Mary Free Bed and it's this vibrant organization. Why did we choose those colors?
So that, again, was something that Kent knew, and there's significant research as well out there in regards to the role that color plays. So the role of orange in the environment is actually very important because that is invigorating. So that's it. That is something that actually physiologically makes you your energy be higher, right? It heightens your levels of invigoration in your body. The orange is deliberately placed within the environment. So we wanted to make sure that we use those vibrant colors to allow for that invigoration to happen, because the whole reason that you're here at Mary Free Bed and are in a rehab facility is to get up and move, right? And be inspired for action and activities to get back to your daily life. And so that is really the role that the environment with the orange plays, as well as the other invigorating colors. Blues are the more calming environments as well. So we did use all aspects of that component within the environment to make sure that that happened.
That's really interesting. If someone's planning a project and they're planning to do something like Mary Free Bed did, say, in their lobby, How did they establish measures of success for each of these projects?
So the measures of success, we started again over the 9 years to establish, really built out of the strategic plan and the strategic vision. So we want to make sure that within an organization that we have clearly demonstrated measures and metrics that we can measure. So if improved patient satisfaction, likelihood to recommend, all of those aspects are included, as well as retention of your staff and engagement of your staff. And so within the Mary Freebed project, we had established some key measures that we had pulled forward. So having the ideal patient experience, working and using the environment the most efficiently, allowing the environment to support and be flexible enough for growth into the future, be recognized as the nation's rehab hospital, as the excellence, as well as the most inspirational space. So a space that is inspiring. So you'll notice that even within all aspects of the environment, again, back to the efficiency measure, that we used all components, like the hallway is actually therapy. The landing spaces are therapy spaces. So all aspects of the building and the square footages are used to the absolute potential. One of the components that we did do is we were able to consolidate 30 of the service lines into one clinic area. We calculated the amount of times when it was opened and used that we were really able to create a universal room space to then be able to create the most effective and efficient space for the patient to be meeting no matter what the specialty is, so that you could move specialty clinics from an amputee clinic to a pain clinic within the same clinical area and allow for those to come in and be stood up in a day very easily, and you don't have to redesign the space.
You're listening to the Be Advised podcast from the Mary Freebed Advisory Group. I'm your host, Joyelle Pavey. If you are enjoying this podcast, subscribe, rate, and review, and share it with others. If you'd like more information, email us at advisorygroup@maryfreebed.com. Now let's jump back into the conversation.
During this pandemic, what needed changes had to be made at Mary Freebed, particularly our office space and other departments that you were engaged in to help still foster that creativity, help support our growth, but help respect these boundaries that were now established because of COVID-19?
Yeah. So again, one of Kent's vision was to really have everyone work in a hybrid fashion, but then also really more unassigned. Prior to COVID, it was really unassigned work environments. So he, coming from Steelcase, really understood the role, the officing, and the different modalities that you might need as a person that's using an office space. You sometimes are meeting with people. Sometimes you have head down quiet work. So having a flexible office environment that allows you to find the best space so you can be working at your top. That was the whole intention. So during COVID, the vision was to repurpose one of the floors in the professional office building to really be a space for innovation and allow for collaboration and network integration with all of the leadership team, and that they now all don't have an assigned office, but have the ability to flex into work rooms, small office space, but then also large meeting rooms to allow for them to have those chance encounters, which increase teamwork and collaboration and integration as well. So that vision actually allowed for them to reduce their overall officing needs by 60% overall. So they're able to now have a higher density of staff working in the same space and having those chance encounters while still providing the most ideal and most productive environment for them.
I was one of the recipients of that new office space, and I have to tell you, I love it. As someone who's on the road all the time and only popping into the office space periodically, I'm really able to engage with more people now. I get to see them in the hallway, get to have those one-off conversations that are just quick and to the point. I see our CEO a lot more, our COO, our chief nursing officer, they're all right there. I feel like it really improved collaboration. I was very also surprised about the level of detail. Like, you had even planned out for us storage, where we're going to put our bags and purses in terms of locker space, and where our guests do that too. As if we're inviting outside guests, you plan for all that. Did you have specific meetings with all of, I know you met with me. Did you meet with all of the leaders to talk about the new needs for the space prior to operationalizing this project?
Yes, the intention here is to really understand the roles and how you're using the environment and what your needs are. And so not jumping into the environment solutions, think through operational needs and who would be using this space. So yes, working through each one of those work groups and specialties that would be using the space and making sure that you really are customizing that environment to support the overall operations of the organization.
When a program is looking at a new project, so they feel kind of stagnant in their given space, the creativity is really not there, how do they even know what to start? What questions should they be asking themselves before engaging someone like you into looking at their environment?
So I always say, you know, you really need to begin with the person. So again, as my social work roots come to play, we really are creating environments to support the people to be at their best, especially in inpatient settings. We're trying to help them to heal. And so how do you think about the needs of that person at the time and what they're trying to accomplish? You, as a non-architect, it's not your job to try to figure out rooms and layouts and all of those components that happen within the room. That's our job. And other designers' jobs. What it is the most important thing is for you to think about what your business is doing, what your business is trying to accomplish, your business strategy, all of those components, and then build around the operational model of what you're trying to attain. So thinking through patient processes, staff processes, cleaning protocols, all of those aspects that we need to really fully understand operationally before you even put pen to paper to start to think through a design. I always say really walk through that understanding as the person and think with new eyes how you would want that ideal process would be, and don't think about physical barriers that could hinder that ability to really create your ideal scenario.
Interesting. Like if I'm walking through my space and I feel like, hey, my staff hasn't really reported any real issues to me. The flow seems okay. I don't really notice any significant issues. What should I be thinking about? Should I be thinking about the future, the new patients we're serving, growth? How should I be looking at that space on a daily basis as I go through? And what do I need to know as a leader about my space?
I would say the first thing would be, do you have any primary issues? Are you having higher error rates? Are you having low satisfaction scores? Are you having high staff turnovers? If you're a phenomenal facility and you have all top scores, then I would say you probably are okay with your environment and you wouldn't have to do anything outside of maybe looking at new technology and growth and how your organization may want to grow, but making sure that you're not impacting all of the good things that are happening within the space. But if you do, and more than likely, many organizations have issues that they're dealing with, right? So they might have higher error rates. We know that the environment impacts error rates. For an example, if there may be medication errors or falls that are happening that are errors, we can create an environment to support safe lifting. Then you might have a safe lifting program, but actually including having a space designed especially around falls. There's been a lot of research that shows if you look into an inpatient room and you can see from the corridor, from the head of the patient up, that those rooms have less falls. And so when you can see a patient from the corridor, the falls are less likely in those rooms. And so being able to have an understanding that the role the environment plays can be impacting some of your negative outcomes. And so don't lose sight of the fact that you can't bring operational modeling to that. You have to bring the environment as a part of the conversation. You can't just solve it through changing and training your staff. You actually should be looking at it holistically and looking at how the environment can support the organization to really achieve the highest, most best outcome.
So you just mentioned a lot about quality, patient safety. What about employee turnover and engagement? Have you seen those types of scores go up by changing the environment?
Most definitely. So I think that it's very important to understand the population of your staff and what their needs are. So one of the components that we built into the environment for Mary Freebed is mothers that have lactation needs and other needs that you can accommodate those spaces within their work area and as well as their staff break area. And then also thinking about having their ability to keep their belongings safe. As you mentioned, there's locker rooms on the fifth floor of the POB, and then have access to natural light wherever possible for maintaining of circadian rhythms and allowing for that to really be supportive. And finally, just the element of fun that I think Mary Freebed has very much a part of their values and culture, and looking at using the walls to inspire with either words or fun pictures, things that just really bring forward the culture of fun and engagement with the rest of the staff.
That is great. I think you're right on. It is a very fun place. People are very engaging, and the environment is working with us to support our mission and support what we do every day. Someone, you know, once said to me, how do you quantify ROI in something like culture? Because you really essentially in your work have helped support the Mary Freebed culture. So how do you quantify a return on investment for that?
So I think one of the most important things that we've looked at is really optimizing the ability for staff to do their job. And one of the primary measures within therapy is the RVU measure. And so really being able to help the staff recognize how they can do their job more effectively and efficiently. There's a lot of work that's been studied out there about how people can be running around during your time of work, getting patients, bringing patients to the gym, all of that time hunting and gathering things to actually do your job. So the more you can bring things together and consolidate the systems and structures allows for the staff to actually work at their top of their license. And that supports that organizational culture of doing your job, but then also having fun in the process. You have more space as well to do that work. One of the examples that I wanted to share was really where we retooled the outpatient therapy gyms. We consolidated all the outpatient therapy gyms into one location. From previously, they were in two separate locations. It was the same square footage from previously. We were able to double the number of encounters and triple the RVUs per square foot in that area, as well as improve the top box score of likelihood to recommend by 8.6%. So I think that really fully demonstrates the impact of a well-designed environment that supports an operational excellence of what, you know, Mary Freebed's organizational culture is all about, excellence and creating the most efficient space, but then really creating the optimal experience for everyone.
That's really remarkable. Those are some huge accomplishments right there in terms of that outpatient space. When you walk through the space, it is fairly open, but you always see people. I think we've all been in organizations where you walk in and you look in a therapy gym and you're like, you're telling me you need more space, but there's not a person in here. And when we don't observe that at Mary Freebed, you're right. There's always people in the hallway doing therapeutic activities. There's people in that gym all the time. And it just creates that environment of working hard, especially in when you have patients that are going to rehab, right? You want them to be able to see and observe others and say, hey, I'm not alone in this. There's other people that are working just as hard and they're in the same space and they can relate to each other. I think that's pretty impressive what you've accomplished in that outpatient area. We talked a lot about inpatient and day-to-day operations. How is this whole virtual wave? It's all about virtual care, telemedicine, remote working. How has that whole change in our environment and the pressure given COVID-19 really impacted the architectural design of facilities and space?
With the COVID implications, we are now always virtual. It's kind of funny to actually take a phone call when you don't see a person's face anymore because you're always seeing them. And I think that, you know, the seamless integration of technology into the work environment is really, really important, obviously, from conference rooms to your office workspace, to be able to allow for that to seamlessly occur. You know, healthcare, we have been doing this for quite some time with the integration of an EMR system into your technology is that interfaces there, but the remote tele connect is very important. So on the therapist's side, to be able to easily move from an in-person visit to a televisit. So thinking about where you're placing those tele-appointments so you can have a meaningful connection with your tele-appointment, and then also, again, maintaining your productivity, being able to move into seamlessly into an in-person environment. And so really thinking through where those are placed and how the staff would be best supported to be working at their optimum.
You're right. Like, we sometimes see individuals, employees more now than we did prior to COVID and prior to this virtual wave. Our IT department, for example, now I can, you know, FaceTime with them and see them, or get on a WebEx and see them face to face, where before it'd be a phone call or email request to them. And same with some of our other remote workers, our regional directors of care transitions. They're always on the road. But now, because we're coming together and we're doing these virtual WebExes and touch bases, I get to physically see them, and you kind of keep that personal connection a little bit. Larissa, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your vision with us today. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
So, Kent, Larissa had a lot of valuable insights that she shared with us today. What advice would you have for organizations who are on a growth journey at this point in time?
Oh, boy, I would say do it right. And, you know, music to my ears is when someone, a patient or a family member, walks into Mary Freebed and says, "Oh, my gosh, this place lifts me up," or "it causes me to want to work harder," or whatever. Then the other is when an employee says the same thing. And I hear these things every day about this facility. And in result of that, and it's really a result of a leadership like Larissa. If you are looking for a facility that is special, and by special I mean it is a tool that allows you to provide better patient care, fires up your employees to want to do it, and really gets patients engaged in their care, then you can't just hire an architect and a contractor and go about it. You have to hire somebody like Envia to come in and envision and really dig out of your staff and you what it is that is going to cause patients, families, and your employees to be that engaged in their work.
Thank you so much, Kent. Very valuable insight that you shared with us, and we appreciate you being our guest today.
Joelle, thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Be Advised podcast from the Mary Freebed Advisory Group. I'm your host, Joelle Pavey. If you are enjoying this podcast, subscribe, rate, and review, and share it with others. If you'd like more information regarding the information in today's podcast, feel free to email us at advisorygroup@maryfreebed.com. And until next time, be well, be passionate about rehab, and be advised. Thank you so much.